We were in Washington. We left on June 2nd and got back yesterday. And it was an interesting experience, to say the least. We had a lot of things crowded together all at the same time. Friday night, I preached, and I didn't pull any punches. I just really cut loose, and afterward, we had 15 baptized in Jesus' name. And we went down into the... It was kind of cold in Washington, rainy. It's always raining in Washington, it seems. But we used the hot tub outside. They had an outdoor pool and hot tub, so I thought, well, the pool's 71, the hot tub's 85, and it was big enough. So one at a time, I had them come in and baptize them in Jesus' name. And one woman was so excited, brand new Christian, she said, "I'm next," and she was in line, you know. She just came around and jumped in ahead and didn't even use the step. She just dove into the water. So I got her baptized also, but the total of 15. And then we had, the next day, I had a wedding in the afternoon, and I preached the gospel again, kind of like I did here for Michael and Cynthia. Pardon me, Cynthia. You got to excuse me. You'll see why I made that slip in a minute. I'm running on energy strictly from God, I'll tell you. But anyway, sorry about that, Cynthia. I do know how to pronounce your name, actually. Okay, but it was similar to that. So I really preached, and then on Saturday night we had another meeting, and I did the PowerPoint presentation, which I'm going to do here, and I believe I'm going to schedule that for the last Saturday of the month, of this month. I think that's when I'm going to do it. I'd like to get the newsletter written first, and then we'll proceed to do that. I'll keep you updated on that. I did it in Washington, but it was not recorded there, so we want to record it here. And it takes a couple of hours. We had a little intermission. Actually, we went nearly 3 hours, but we wouldn't have had to do it. I had a lot of interruptions. People making comments and things, some not so good, and all this. I know I'd really been... The first 20 minutes, I was really hitting Catholicism. And then come to find out, there were two women in the back row that had just come from Mass. So that was Technicolor. But they stayed for the whole thing, and so that was a major miracle. You know, they didn't walk out. So anyway, coming back on Sunday, takes 2 nights and nearly 2 days on the train. We got out near, we were in about the middle of Montana. Just the car we were in, I think there were 15 cars on the train at the time, just the one we were in started having trouble. It's always like that. It's the one I'm in. So anyway, this loud noise, and they made it into Minot, North Dakota. They had to stop the train and disconnect the car that I was in, which was a sleeper. Then they herded us all into coach. Nobody was prepared for that. You have to bring your own blankets and things. We didn't have anything. Very cold in there. But so there we sat all night upright. I can't sleep sitting up. And we were on there for about 19 hours, I think, altogether. And then I told the conductor, I said, "You'll never get this train into Wisconsin." Well, they said the reason they had to stop, they had a bad wheel. And it could have been a very dangerous situation, especially going over those trellises up in the mountains or through an 8-mile tunnel, you know, things like that. But anyway, I told the conductor, "You'll never get into Wisconsin with that train." And he said, "Well, we haven't heard anything." And that was 3 days ago when they had that rain and all that, so there's no problem. So then we got outside of St. Paul, and they made an announcement they couldn't go into Wisconsin. Too many tracks were washed out. So, you know, I wanted to go and find him and tell him I told you so, but I couldn't find him anywhere. So we got into St. Paul, and they took the Burlington Northern tracks down into Iowa and Northern Illinois and straight over to Chicago. So they put all of us on buses and bused us from St. Paul through... all these little towns were picking up passengers along the way and so forth. It was a long day, and I hadn't had any sleep the night before. So I did have some last night, and hoping for some more tonight. So that's why if I, hopefully as I get into this, the Lord will really help me, and mispronouncing Cynthia's beautiful name will be the only mistake I've made tonight. So I hope that's the case. But anyway... we're back, and a lot of good things happened, but there was some trouble with it. And that's generally how it is. But we thank God for everything that was done, and for those 15 that were baptized in Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise the Lord. We came back to a state that was flooded. We all the way down as we were riding in that bus, we could see the fields just full of like lakes. I don't know what's going to happen with the corn and soybeans and all that. I don't know if there's time to replant. And first you got to get rid of the water, and then they said there's more rain coming. They said another possibly inch and a half tomorrow night, and in a short period of time, and that could be trouble too. Some dams washed out. Lake Delton, you've all heard about that. The lake of Lake Delton is no more. It's gone. There's no more lake. Because it knocked the, it didn't knock the dam out, but the area around the dam gave way and the whole thing left, and houses were sucked into it, and beautiful homes washed, crumbled and washed into the river. So that the power of the creation is amazing. And really, we haven't seen anything yet compared to what is coming. For the Bible says the cities of the nations fell. And these are all just little warnings of what is to come. So we sure do need the Lord. And people need to wake up. Because anybody can answer the call of the gospel. And you know, God, if God calls you, you can answer. You see? And God calls out, and people need to respond to that. And then He takes it from there. Thank God for the power of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing more urgent and nothing better than that. Amen. Well, that's just a little bit about what happened. I could tell you more, but we had a very interesting time here on this trip. I got back thinking, I don't want to travel anymore at all. I really don't. It takes a lot out of you. So I'm glad to be here tonight. Well, we are going to be opening to Revelation chapter 18 to start with. Now, first I'd like to pray and we'll sing a chorus. Then let's get right into this. Father in heaven, we are so thankful, O Lord, that we have Thy Word tonight, that we can open these pages of life, that we can study and that we can look around us and see how all that Thou hast told us in Thy Word is coming to pass. And very soon it will all be over. But, O Lord, we look to Thee now tonight as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in Thee do we put our trust, for these are treacherous times, and we need Thee so desperately, O Lord. So lead us and guide us and direct us by Thy Spirit, and we give Thee the glory for it. And let Satan be rebuked and bound and cast out, and made powerless in Thy presence, O God. And in Thy presence let us abide, and all to the glory of Thy name. Let Thy Word be dear to our hearts. Give us understanding, discernment, and wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Well, I think what we'll do is, just to be a little different tonight, we're going to sing "The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower." The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to get right into the Word of God. You know, it was really something with that trip, though. Everything went great, great, great all the way through. The return trip was the difficult part. And then to top it off, when I we had so many suitcases because we had equipment to take with us for the PowerPoint, and I had all kinds of things. And so I was throwing the luggage onto a cart and somehow managed to throw my back out. I must have, you know, kind of, one piece we have is pretty big, and I just must have turned a certain way. Still is out, but actually I've learned to kind of compensate for it. But it's pretty hard to compensate sitting on that seat on the train for 19 hours. That was with your back out, that's quite an experience. So anyway, but you know, I prayed about it and the Lord gave me a scripture. You know what he told me? Same thing Paul told all of us. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Endure hardness. It isn't always easy. And life can be very strange sometimes. But the Lord is with us in any trouble that we would happen to be in. Isn't it great to know that? No matter what happens to you, no matter what kind of trouble you're in, health problems or money problems or any kind of problems, the Lord is right in there with you. And when you believe that, and you can put your faith in Him, then you will find that He is a very present help in trouble. Glory to God. And so we're trusting now that He'll help us with His Word. Father in heaven, let Thy Word come alive to us tonight. Oh God, open our hearts now as we open our Bibles. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are talking about Mystery Babylon. We've made some good progress with this. It took us 2 sessions so far, and then we had a break while I was gone to Washington. Now we're back at it, and we're going to open to Revelation 18 to start with, and then go back into the Old Testament once again. Now, in Revelation 18, we can see that Mystery Babylon is the subject and the theme of this entire chapter. And it starts out, and of course, this is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ given to His servant John. And then John was told to make sure that it gets to all the churches. Isn't it strange that today very few churches will even look into the book of Revelation? And isn't it odd that so many people will say, well, you know, I don't care about end times. I'm going to be raptured out of here anyway. Just whoosh, gone. So what do I care? And what an attitude to have. This was appointed to be read in churches. Why? Because the time is at hand and because we need to know these things that must shortly come to pass. And I'll tell you what, there's no place in the Bible where it says you're going to get a free ride out of here ahead of time. We will rise to meet Him in the air. The Bible does say that. But let's leave it in context. We'll rise to meet Him in the air because He's coming back. Jesus said in John 17, when He prayed, I pray not that Thou wouldest take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. That immediately after the tribulation of those days is when the sun becomes dark and the moon turns to blood and the great sign of the coming of the Son of Man is seen. All of that is in the Bible, yes. At the last trump. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 will tell you about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will tell you about it. And no matter where you read in the book of God, there's no disappearing act to be found. Come on. God has always been with His people. He's a very present help in trouble. Come on. He'll lead us. He'll take care of us. I know that in Egypt it was dark at the 9th plague, but the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Isn't that exciting? But in Revelation 18, the first verse, it says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. Isn't it great to see these angels come down from heaven? Remember, I did this series, How Jesus Changed the World. A woman wrote to me, I just read it today. A woman wrote to me and she said, did you know that on the 4th disc, when you get into it a little ways, and she's got it timed, I don't remember how far into it, she said there's an angel standing behind you and you can see it very clearly. She said, did anybody else notice that? And I said, I don't know. I hadn't heard anything. She said, look for it, it's there. You can see the face of the angel and everything standing there. She said, over your right shoulder and then in back of you. So I don't know if anybody wants to check that out. I haven't seen it. I don't watch myself because I can't stand the sight of myself or the sound of my own voice. You know how it is. And you probably can't stand the sound of your own voice either on tape. We're all that way, aren't we? A little bit. Hey, if you're not, then you've got a problem. You might as well stand in front of a mirror and say, pretty bird, you know. If you like the way you look and sound, you're already in trouble. Now, here an angel comes down from heaven having great power. Praise God. And this by power here, it does also mean authority. And who gives the authority? The Almighty God. And the earth was lightened with His glory. Now that is a lot of brightness, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, you know, and I like this. I think this is awesome and wonderful. Here's what the angel said. Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. This is the Word of God. Now, why is the is fallen? Angels don't stutter. There's a reason why it's said twice. When God says something twice in a row, it means the thing is established, it will shortly come to pass, and cannot be changed or altered. Didn't Joseph tell that to Pharaoh? Remember, Pharaoh had a dream? And of course, there were the seven fat cattle and lean cattle, and then the seven good ears and seven bad, you know, the corn and so forth. And he said to Pharaoh, because you dreamed this twice, because it was doubled to you, it means that the thing is established by God, it will come to pass. Nothing can change it. Do you ever wonder why Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again? Verily, verily? Why twice? Because the thing is established and cannot be changed. God has established a plan of salvation and it is permanent. It is fixed. It is established. Two verilies there. Here you've got Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. God has purposed to destroy mystery Babylon. Now remember, Mystery Babylon is comprised not only of a church, but of a governmental system. There is a scarlet-colored beast with 10 horns. 7 heads, actually. 10 horns. And then the 7 heads are identified as a woman sitting on 7 hills. Folks, there is a church built on 7 hills, and it is Rome. Without question. And there is a government divided into 10 segments. This world has been divided 10 ways. And that was first started by Dr. Aurelio Pache, the head of the Club of Rome, some 30 years ago. And that's been established. Maps have been drawn. Territories, things have been segmented out. Australia happens to be its own sector because not only is it one area of the 10 by number, but it is its own continent as well as its own nation. And so it was a testing ground. Just like the Pope announced that the United States is a testing ground for Roman Catholicism. That we're all being tested by the spirit of Rome. He told that to a crowd in New York. We're guinea pigs. Spiritual guinea pigs, according to the Pope. Do you ever see the size of that ring he wears? What a monstrosity. I'm telling you, how many have ever seen a picture of that ring? It is gigantic. And we'll get into that when I do my presentation. We really don't pull any punches there. If you got any Catholic friends, bring them. They'll never be the same again. I've got enough evidence to sink a battleship. But anyway, so here we find that Babylon, consisting of a false church, and by the way, she is a mother, the mother of harlots, remember chapter 17? And abominations of the earth. As a mother, she has children. It's a spiritual mother, a church. That means there are churches that sprang off from it. And you know what they tell you in Bible school when these people go there to study to be a minister? And I'm going to tell you this. There's no way you can study to be a minister. If God hasn't called you to preach the word, you will never be able to study enough to be a minister. See, that's the problem. We got this assembly line conveyor belt thing going through a seminary, whatever, bringing these guys off the other end, and they're all carbon copies of the guy that was propagating all the error. And that perpetuates the error on and on. You're guaranteed to have the same mistakes if they're all taught the same error. That's the problem with it. What's God's way? Paul said he taught Timothy, and Timothy would teach others, other godly men. That was God's way. Not seminaries and Bible schools where they teach doubt and skepticism and use all kinds of Schofield helps and footnotes and commentaries. And hey, God's Word doesn't need commentary. God's Word, you need to believe it. As it's written, have faith in it and do what it says. There's only one reason for footnotes. That's to change the meaning of the text. I met my friend Savio, the airline pilot over there, and he was pointing that out too. God saved him out of Schofieldism. And he showed me this Bible with all the footnotes in it. And I'm telling you, there are two or three verses of Scripture, and then all the whole rest of the page footnotes. All the rest of the page is to tell you that that verse doesn't mean what God said it did. And they call it a Bible. Anyway, we find that this angel crying out here with a strong voice said, Babylon is fallen, and is become the habitation. Habitation is a dwelling place, a place where something lives and resides and stays there. The habitation of what? Of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. In other words, the vulture type of bird that kills, that eats dead things, right? That's why this analogy is used here. So that this religious system, working with the government, and the government working with the religion, and by the way, when the government is through with the Catholic Church, they're going to destroy it. And Islam is rising up like everything. And all of these religious ideologies are going to give way to one thing, and that is Luciferianism. You see, he's already in all those churches. What's going to happen when the light comes on, so to speak? See, they feel if they can destroy true Christianity, then there's no more light of the truth. Then the Antichrist power can get up and say, look, and he'll point out all the Luciferian things about the Catholic Church. All the Luciferian things about the Muslim religion, the crescent moon, the star, all the symbology that's there, the winged horse that carried Muhammad, and all this crazy stuff. But he's going to point out that all these churches were worshiping Lucifer all along anyway, with his holidays, with his symbols, with all of his protocol. It was always all there. Because you find Luciferianism in every one of these churches. They are daughters of the whore. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And so he's going to tell the people, look, what's the difference? You've been in all these religions anyway. Here's the one you've really been worshiping. Didn't Jesus say to the woman at the well, ye worship ye know not what? How many people are out there worshiping they know not what? And that's why all these strange things and strange spirits enter in. And people have about a 5-minute attention span for some kind of a Bible. And then send in the clowns. Bring in the magician. Bring in the ventriloquist. Bring in the dance. We got to have music. Wild guitars, beating drums, disco music, rock music, oldies music, anything. You know, one year around Baal Mass time, this big Assembly of God church did a manger thing, you know, Christmas program, and they had the music that they used was a takeoff on rock music. For instance, when Mary and Joseph came in, and she was very, very great with child, and there was no room for them in the inn, they sang that song, Hotel Can't Afford You, to the tune of Hotel California. And by the way, Hotel California was another way of saying Church of Satan. The Church of Satan was Hotel California. If you ever look at the words to that song by the Eagles, you would know what it's talking about. How this man came driving down the road, the desert highway, and he's so tired he stopped in this place. He said, this might be heaven, this might be hell. He goes in there, and in one of the rooms, they're doing this human sacrifice. They had their steely knives, but they couldn't kill the beast, and so forth. And there's no way he could ever get out. He wanted to find his way back through the corridor and get out of there. And then, of course, the night man comes along. The night man and says, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. You're never going to get out of here. See, that's what they tell you in Masonry and Satanism and witchcraft, that there's no way out. Thank God there are witches that have found their way out, because Jesus led them out. Now, kind of interesting, isn't it though, that churches would be so blind, deaf, dumb, and quadriplegic spiritually, that they would use a song like that and say that they're worshiping God with it? There are many, many other such like things that they do. And I think it's time somebody call them on it, because it isn't right. Halloween comes along, they put up a spook house to make money. Everything they do is to make money. Money, 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 money. One Methodist church, they had, when this Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe came out, they blocked the entrance of the church and put in a wardrobe. Because you see, the storyline is, these children in the story went into to hide. They're playing hide and seek, or a game like they're hiding in a wardrobe, and they went through a mirror or something and went into this other world where they had the lion and there was a witch and all the spooky stuff going on. Well, this Methodist church, they blocked the entrance, made it like a wardrobe where everybody who came into church had to pass through the lion witch's wardrobe thing, and they came in, and then they had their church thing going. The whole theme that day was the lion witch in the wardrobe. That's not why I come to church. But these are the days of great blindness, foolishness, and ignorance. And I think some people are sick of it, but they don't know what to do or where to go. I think there are people out there that feel like church is a necessary evil, that somehow by attending they'll get to heaven. If they just, there's no place to go, no other thing they can do, they'll just keep going and keep going and keep going like the Energizer Bunny, but they're never going to get there. You see? Because they miss out on the true salvation of Jesus Christ. And I'll show you how I can say that in just a couple of verses. But first of all, notice in verse 2 that every foul spirit ends up in Babylon. Do you know that every devil right now is dispatched to do its evil from the source of Babylon? Did you know that? Where do we find every devil? Notice the habitation of devils is Babylon. The mystery Babylon. The hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. But the Lord is able to bind them and keep them in Babylon, and we've come out of Babylon. Therefore, they're not a direct threat to us other than by intimidation. If you're not in Babylon, the devil cannot hurt you. You see the value of coming out? Because where do you find these evil spirits? They're in there. It's kind of like having a pit bull on a chain. Just don't get any closer than the chain is long, and you know, make sure that it can't reach you. Don't get within the parameter of that pit bull, or you might have parts missing. Right? Verse 3 says, for all, now notice this, how many? All nations, even America, The land of the free and the home of the brave? The land of the deceived and home of the depraved? You know, the state of California, sometimes known as a state of confusion, kind of a queer area. But anyway, that's a legitimate word. They're going to solve all of their budgetary problems. They got it figured out. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor, has it all figured out. They said we are going to put a 25% tax on all pornography. And you know what the government said, well, then people won't buy it. And he said, we've done a study on it, and we have found, I wonder how they did that study, that they'll pay any price that they have to pay. Because it's an addiction. Like gambling. See, the reason it's an addiction is because there's spirits involved. And then you know what the complaint was? What if, this is the government in California, they said, what if the whole industry, which is in Southern California for the most part, what if they go to a different state where they don't have to pay the tax and we lose our industry? I think they should gasoline bomb the whole industry, but it's amazing that they would have that kind of concern. See, when are we going to realize that our government is not against sin? As long as they can get their cut of the money. They think it's wonderful they can sell all that liquor and all that tobacco and all kinds of different vices and things. They call it sin tax. It brings in big money. Do you realize that the whole stock market is just up and down, mostly down, 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 up a little and down, 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 all messed up? The only stocks that are doing well are gambling stocks, casinos and things like that. Alcohol, even tobacco, is yielding from 16 to 21% return. And some people say, oh, that's where I want to invest. Oh, no, you don't. You want to invest in hell? But those are the stocks doing well. Because we live in a depraved society, without question. But notice how many nations are involved here. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, her unfaithfulness, her uncleanness. In other words, this is a church compared to a woman who will do anything for money. As horrible as that may sound, that's how the Lord compares it. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Notice how the government gets involved with the woman who clearly is Rome. Now, when the Pope was over here, was Bush involved? Oh, yeah. And I'm going to show you a picture in that presentation where our president has his own personal statue of Mary, supposedly the Virgin Mary, in crimson red, and he's handing it to the Pope for the Pope to put his blessing on it so he can take it back to the Oval Office. I've got a picture of Jeb Bush kneeling in front of the Pope just about to kiss his big ring. I wonder how many bacteria are on that ring. Everybody's kissing it all the time. There's got to be some pretty ugly stuff growing on there. Anyway, and notice what's happening here. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, when the merchants wax rich, why do they wax rich? Let me ask you this. The oil companies, are they waxing rich? And you've got a president right now who will do absolutely nothing about it. You know, they wanted to put a big tax on the oil industry because they have all these windfall profits. And the whole Republican Party stood up in opposition to it. You're not going to tax our boys. By the way, there is one business in this country, only one, that has a 20% discount on their taxes. I'll put it this way. 20% of their income is tax exempt. As a private business, and that's oil extraction. They tax everything, but why this 20% break on oil extraction? Who runs the oil companies? It's the Illuminists. By the way, the Illuminati, in case you haven't figured it out yet, have always made their money on oil, insurance, money lending, and drugs. When Myanmar got hit by that cyclone that came through, didn't you wonder why it was that they would not allow aid to come in? These people were crying out for help. They were dying. And they said their government refused the help. Not so. It's our government that was behind not giving them the help. But they had to make it look like it was their government. Why? All of our opium fields are in Myanmar and the rest of Burma. It's called the Golden Triangle. More opium comes out of there than any other place in the world. Second is Afghanistan, which is why we're over there too, protecting our opium business. There's a Burmese general by the name of Khun Sa, who literally named names in our government that are running the opium business. And opium poppy George H.W. Bush, Poppy Bush, as in opium poppy, when he was running the CIA, was running the whole opium business. Now, if you think this is far-fetched, then just go back in your history, get your encyclopedia out, and look up opium wars. China, at one time, many years ago, declared opium illegal. And Britain, with our backing, sent armies into China and forced the Chinese government to drop that law and make opium legal again. We sent an army in to force them to legalize opium. Read it. Get your encyclopedia out. That's exactly what happened. These people are as crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. Come on. It's time that we call it like it is. And they didn't want the discovery over there. They would have had all these aid workers come in and all these volunteers come in. They would have seen it. They would have seen the opium business that goes on in Myanmar, the southern tip of Burma, the Golden Triangle, because it makes so much money. In fact, George H.W. Bush at one time forced transport planes in Vietnam, bringing our injured soldiers back from the war, to unload those injured soldiers because there wasn't enough room for the opium shipment that was going out. Somebody's got a lot of answering to do. And there's enough of our own soldiers that saw them do it. Take those injured, they put them on there, had to get them off to Wiesbaden, Germany, to the hospitals and so forth. And what happened? Take them off. They're loading up these packages, these bundles of opium. Do you know how much cash has gone into Iraq in bundles? How many hundreds of millions of dollars cash has disappeared in payoffs? And that's been documented? There's always this kind of shenanigans going on. Why? All this crookedness and corruption and evil? Well, they've all drunken from the same cup, folks. The cup of Babylon. It tells me in my Bible, all the nations drank from that cup. Therefore, and committed fornication, therefore they are literally infected by Babylon and the great harlot. Where is the cup? In the harlot's hand. Right? Now it says, notice this, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich. Oh, these businesses, some of them, if they're illuministic, are getting very rich. You know, they say, oh, the whole country's in bad shape. Everybody's losing, losing, losing. Hey, every dollar lost, somebody got it. Right? Somebody got it. And they're waxing rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It gets rather interesting when you think about it. Because all of these things that are happening, and all of this, by delicacies, it means luxury things there. Some people have such fortunes that they have made. But remember another thing, the government likes this too because they get their taxes on it. Everything tax, tax, tax. You know, McCain said what he would like to do is just have a big sales tax on everything instead of income tax. You might think, well, that sounds pretty good. No, not if you'd see the percentages. No, we're talking food, too. Food, gasoline, essentials, everything. Just one big straight percentage of sales tax every time somebody buys something. And you know what they would do to people who would go on a barter system? They'd string you up and they wouldn't even use a new rope. Come on. Because you'd be cutting and muscling in on their territory. If I wanted to trade you a bushel of apples for a bushel of oranges, boy, they caught you. See, I don't know if that'll ever happen. We might end up with a Muslim. But no matter which route you go, it's an ugly trip. And a long way around. Thank God we know the Lord's coming. Verse 4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven." Oh, by the way, let me pause for just a moment. We talked about this Babylon with this, the merchants and so forth. We're going to come right back here, but I want to quickly show you something in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 28, I want to go right down. I'm going to go past some of this because there's not enough time. But we read about the king of Tyrus. Tyrus was a city also called Tyre. It's Ezekiel 28, from which you get the word tyrant. Satan is a tyrant. The Antichrist is a tyrant. Satan himself is tyrannical. Now, as a matter of fact, that dinosaur, Tyrannosaurus Rex, Rex meaning the king of all the tyrants. Okay? Now, if you go to verse 14, Ezekiel 28:14, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God." He's saying to this being, you were there, not there now. "Thou hast walked," past tense, you did walk, "up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect," not now, but was, "in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Obviously talking about Satan. "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence." Do you see the merchandise here, the trading, the business going on? You know, we were going in the train there, flying down the track, and this other train was going alongside us. And I said, "Now, isn't that something? All these big containers that came off from ships heading west to be refilled at the China Ocean Shipping Company docks. Did you know that Red China owns 13 shipping companies along our waterways? Did you know that a Chinese warship, some is a while back now, but they found a Chinese warship, a submarine, in Puget Sound near Seattle, submerged in the water, and it wasn't there to protect the Chinese laundries either. All these big containers that look like about the size, almost like a, you ever seen these rectangular shipping containers? They look like a small semi-truck without wheels. They just set it on the boxcars, or not boxcars, the flat cars, and haul it off. Read what's on the containers. Yang Ming. And all kinds of other Chinese. I saw all these Yang Ming, Yang Ming, Yang Ming, Yang Ming. All these cars going by. Yang Ming. That's not American. They have literally taken over our country. It's their merchandise that has filled the shelves. I challenge you, go out to Walmart or one of these stores and just walk down the aisle and start looking at things. Made in China, 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 made in China. How come? Who sold us out? We used to make our own things. People wanted American-made things. We used to say, proudly made in America. We are now in a position where we don't have the trained personnel, nor do we have the facilities anymore to make our own essential things. Oh, incidentally, I mentioned this drug trafficking. Did you know there's a war going on in Mexico right now? Did you know that there are 4,000 people killed in the past couple of days in this drug war? And they admitted that, even CNN admitted this, that all these drugs flow in. They're imported from other countries too, but they flow in through Mexico because there's such a corridor there. They have underground corridors and all these, and there is a war going on right now. Thousands and thousands have been killed, some 40,000 more injured. That's a lot of people. And it is a war zone in Mexico right now. And they said that Mexican authorities, Mexican border guards, not that they do anything anyway, are fleeing here for asylum because the drug runners are killing them. It's getting interesting, folks. But back here in Ezekiel 28, here God is saying regarding Satan that iniquity was found in him, and then that by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. We're having that too. And thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. See, it's an angel, isn't it? From the midst of the stones of fire. Speaking to Satan, he says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. See, Satan was preoccupied with what he thought was his own beauty. Does he put that same spirit anywhere here on earth? How about all of this Hollywood stuff? And all they try to make... You know, women out there are starting to look like they came off a conveyor belt. Like they came off from a Cosmopolitan cover or something like that. I don't know if they still publish that magazine or not. Remember years ago they did, but... All these fashion, glamour type people. They're all made up, and all polished up and buffed up and makeup and lipstick, and they all look the same. Why? Satan has redecorated them so he could live there. Just like when you go and rent an apartment or buy a house, whatever you're going to do. And by the way, they're going to come down in price. You'll be buying them a dime a dozen someday, but the... You go in, you say, I want to paint those walls, I want to get it this way, that way, that way. You get it the way you want it. When a demon spirit comes into somebody, he says, I'm going to redecorate that person. I want some pierced ears, I want some pierced nostrils, and pierce this and pierce that. We'll color the hair purple and fix this place up so we can live there. That's why you see them walking around like that. They've been redecorated by the devil. Now, Satan thought he was beautiful. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. Does the devil have sanctuaries? Does he have churches? All over the place. The devil has sanctuaries. By the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Traffic here comes from a Hebrew word that means trading, business, buying and selling. God forbids buying and selling in a church. These religious organizations that put prices on things, they want to sell books and sell tapes and sell magazines and sell this and sell that. It's not a church, it's not a ministry anymore. There's giving and there is receiving. And God's people will give enough to you to help you to send them what they need. And if they don't and they want it, you send it anyway. You cannot buy and sell. Now, if you got somebody you know is taking advantage of you, send them a little of it. But you don't turn anybody away because of money. You see what I'm saying? And how many ministries put a price on things? And are they a ministry? Of course not. They are a business. They have trafficking. They have counter-trade transactions. I know Rex Humbard years ago sent me a penny one time, told me to put it under my pillow and send him $20, and in the morning I'd be rich. I don't believe in the tooth fairy, do you? I don't believe in the Humbard fairy either, or any other fairies for that matter. Now, he's saying here that this traffic was a defilement. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So all of that is to be destroyed when the Lord comes. And he'll destroy it with the brightness of his coming. Praise the Lord. Satan's kingdom will fall. We read about merchandise, we read about traffic, counter trading. Now let's go back to Revelation 18. The Lord said in verse 3, he talked about the merchants, how they waxed rich. Now in verse 4, see, the mercantile system in our country is run by devils. The stock market is run by devils. The lending industry is run by devils. Am I afraid of that? No. Do we avoid doing business with anybody? No, you can interact. But don't be supportive in your heart to that system. You might say, I'm not buying any gasoline from any company that's illuministic. Well, then start pedaling. Get yourself a skateboard. See, we interact, but that interaction is not cooperation. I don't give them my heart. I don't think it's a good system. I know what they're all about. I'm not fooled by that. Neither are you. Doesn't mean you can't buy anything. You just don't give your heart to that system at all. And so verse 4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. God's call for his people to come out of Babylon. Come out of that system. One woman wrote to me and said, where do I go? You know, do I find another country? Hey, he's everywhere. You see, it's a spiritual system. You come out spiritually. You think differently. You pray. You act differently. You talk differently. You're transformed and you're translated into the kingdom of God. We have to remember something. Yes, Satan is here. Yes, Satan has this whole world bamboozled and hoodwinked. But you know what? The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is also here. That's where we live. It's not geographic, it's spiritual. I come out of the devil's domain and into the kingdom of God. I still have both feet planted on the earth for now, but I'm not in that anymore. Jesus said, ye are in the world, but ye are not of the world. He made that very clear. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Come on. Now let's see what I can do in the next 12 minutes here. All right? So the Lord calls out, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now what does that tell me? If I don't come out of Babylon, if I have an admiration for this system, if I'm in a situation I'm making big money on it or whatever I'm doing, and I think this is great and I hope it keeps going, some people are like that. Or if I appreciate what they're doing, let me tell you, I'm glad I can still go and get a tank of gas because I have ministry work to do. And you have to get to church and you have, you know, jobs to do and so forth. So I thank God that I can still get it. But I sure don't love the petroleum companies. I don't like them. I have consternation and contempt for them. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to fill up with gas. All right? See what I'm saying here? I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. And if we don't come out, if we don't get our hearts out of Babylon, then we are going to be partakers of her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. See, that's why you're not going to find me putting my hand over my heart in front of the flag. They say, oh, this flag stands for America. Says who? Am I glad I live here? Yep, I am. I like the land. God made the land and so forth. And I'm not trying to overthrow anything. I don't love who's running it and what's running it and what it has become. I have nothing but contempt for the sin and evil that has overtaken this country. But I'm not going to put my heart, I gave my heart to God a long time ago, I'm not going to give it to a piece of cloth with 55 pointed stars on it and 13 stripes. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to try to overthrow it, but I'm not going to give my heart to it either. That's why we don't have one in front of the church here. The Lord is our banner. Come on. Where is your flag? It's Jesus Christ. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Well, some people don't like that, I'm sure. It's, you know, besides that, when you hold your hand over your heart like that, that it's a sign of worship. Worship means to give your heart. But in Freemasonry, it's also the sign of fellowcraft. Remember those pictures of Napoleon with his hand stuck inside his jacket? A lot of generals. That was, see, those were all Masons that did that. That's the fellowcraft sign. Hey, I got nothing to do with that. Hope you don't either. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Notice what the Lord calls for with Babylon. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double. Boy, she gonna get hers. According to her works, in the cup that she hath filled to her double. God's gonna give her twice as much back as she ever did as far as evil in the world. Look at all the evil that's been done, the wars, the heartache, the wickedness of every kind. And God's going to give the perpetrators of that much double back at them. Wow. No wonder he says, come out of there. Because when she gets it, you're not going to get it unless you're in it. And that doesn't mean geographically, physically, it means spiritually. Do we really love the Lord or not? Are we playing games with God? Are we trying to be a little bit of each but not enough of neither? What is the problem? You see, we need to be totally given to God. Who is on the Lord's side? I'll tell you what, it's not a matter of... See, in America here, you know, they make all these claims, God is on our side. We better just make sure we're on God's side. That's what matters. And I don't think we are. Now, in verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. What do they call our flag? Old Glory. That's glorifying yourself. And live deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. By the way, where does Rome have all of its money? In New York City. The Vatican banks, through the investments and so forth, and I don't know if they still own it, but at one time, the whole Campbell Soup Company, for an example, is owned by the Vatican. Not a Catholic, the Vatican. And a lot of other businesses owned by the Vatican. And they have vast holdings everywhere. Tons upon hundreds of tons of gold and silver and all kinds of vast holdings. But sorrow is coming. She hath glorified herself. And by the way, we are, and I think I can use this terminology without getting in trouble, as a nation, we are in bed with the harlot, with Rome. When our leaders are warming up to the Pope and kissing his ring and bowing before him, Well, just wait until I show you the evidence when we do that presentation. Now, God said, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, oh, it could happen to us, see? Saying, alas, alas, oy vey, oy vey, as it were. That great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In 1 hour judgment will come. Now that's fast judgment. When the big one hits, it's going to hit big. Now, we are going to, I've got a little more to do here tonight. Another five to 7 or 8 minutes yet. But we're going to stop in 18 to go into the Old Testament. And then next Wednesday, I'm quite positive I'll be able to finish this because we're that far into it. But right now, I want to go back. Clear back to, we're going to go to Nahum for a minute and to Obadiah. Can we find the United States in the Old Testament? I think it's everywhere. In similitude of prophecy. Even our space program is mentioned here in Obadiah verse 4. By the way, what is the symbol of our country? It's the eagle, isn't it? The eagle. Obadiah is that little book right after Amos. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle. The eagle. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Of course, there's only one chapter in Obadiah. It's that little book that's kind of sandwiched between Amos and Jonah. So that verse tells us, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, a nest among the stars. Do we have a space station up there? Oh, they call it international, but who paid for it? The United States of America. The space station is actually 13 stories high. And the length of it is 13 compartments. And the doors weigh 13,000 pounds. And nearly all the missions up there have been 13 days. Is that their lucky number? I said it that way on purpose. Remember Apollo 13? 13, 13, 13, 13. You count up the names of the astronauts, see how many of those astronauts have 13 letters in their name. All of this is done by design. And I've been to Area 39. There is no Area 38 or 40 or 41. There's Area 39 down at the Kennedy Space Center. That's where every launch goes from, 313s. I've been on the little catwalk that the astronauts walk. It has diagonal stripes alternating black and yellow, and they call it the Yellow Brick Road because when they go up, they're going beyond the Yellow Brick Road. Somewhere over the rainbow, right? Up there to Oz, somewhere to that 13 compartments, that nest among the stars. But what did God say He'd do with that modern-day high-tech Tower of Babel? He'd bring it down. The Tower of Babel was international, too, to unify all the nations. We got an international space station, a nest set among the stars. As the eagle exalts itself, God said He'd bring it down. Here's another little one I got to do very quickly. Nahum. Just turn a few pages over to Nahum. All right? Yeah, we started slightly late too, didn't we? Can you go another 5 minutes? I've still got the green light here. And we've got a little, I won't keep you too long, but I want to finish my thought. In Nahum chapter 2, there's another little sign that God gives at the very end of the world, and that is the sign of the automobile. And he mentions Rothschild. Remember, the Illuminati started with a man by the name of Moses Amschel Bauer, who changed his name to Mayer Amschel Rothschild. He had five sons, including Louis and Calamon and Nathan and so forth. They all became the heads of the banks in Europe. I'll tell you more about that next week. But Rothschild, his name was Bauer, which in German means farmer. Rothschild took that name because in German it's pronounced Rothschild, Rothschild. R-O-T is red in German. Rot. I think a few of you maybe knew that. The German word for red is rot, R-O-T. Schild is shield. Red shield. Rothschild means, in German, red shield. Everybody got that? It's very important. You got that in your mind now? Rothschild, the founder of the Illuminati, along with Dr. Adam Weishaupt, who drew up the plan. Rothschild, the meaning of the word is red shield. Now watch this. Nahum 2:2. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. Hey, have we been emptied out in this country? Have there been some emptiers that have come in and emptied us out? Have they affected our agriculture that marred our vine branches? Oh yeah. But watch this. Rothschild means red shield. Rothschild. The shield of his mighty men is made red. By the way, the Lord showed me this while I was in Washington. As I was teaching, the valiant men are in scarlet, a red army, presided over by one who is, and whose name means red shield. It's not talking about God's people, but an army of this world. Notice, the chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. Now, if you were a prophet back there in those days, if you were Nahum and you saw automobiles, what would you call them? And he saw them running in the trees. It'd be a chariot, wouldn't it? That's the only thing that had wheels, really, that moved back in those days were chariots. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. Fast cars with headlights flying down the expressway 70, 75 miles an hour. I stood at an overpass in Puyallup, Washington, and saw these cars, and I was in a position where they're coming right at me, but I was on an overpass. And those things were, you know, the Lord gave me this verse. The chariots, they'll run like the lightnings. They'll bang into each other. It's a sign of the very end, which also hints at our gasoline problem too, doesn't it? And who's running this whole show here these last days, making this all happen, is somebody whose name means red shield. And there is a red army that is forming. There is a red China. There is a communistic ideology in our country. Every one of all of the writings of Uncle Joe Stalin, as he was called, and Vladimir Lenin, now the original copies are all in our American universities. In Fremont, Washington, there's a 19-foot bronze statue of Vladimir Lenin. Gets a little interesting, doesn't it? You remember that, ever hear that song Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel, that canticle? Did you ever get to that verse where he talks about scarlet battalions? Reaping with a sickle with scarlet battalions. Generals order their soldiers to kill and to fight for a cause they've long ago forgotten. By the way, that was a love song to Mother Earth. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme was an ancient witch's love potion. But the fact that he's talking about before you can have peace on earth and a big utopia, first you must have this witchcraft of love for Mother Earth. Then there will be a cataclysm, a war, with generals commanding their red army, their red battalions, to bring a final war upon the earth, the ashes from the ashes of which will rise a new world order, ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. 1-1-1. All I can say is, wow. The Bible is so incredibly accurate and detailed in every way. Just a little something to think about from now until next Wednesday. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. In other words, Broadway indicates there's plenty of room, but they still hit each other. And they shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. Why is that verse put in there? When would it happen? Back up to verse 3. They shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. When he is preparing to come, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In the day of his preparation, you would have this going on, but you would also have an army of mighty men made red, and the shield, the red shield, Rothschild, Rothschild, through the Illuminati, will be bringing about all of these wars and revolutions and foisting his ideology for a new world order on everybody that he can. But he cannot touch the church of Jesus Christ. God saw it all in advance, told us about it. Think about it between now and next Wednesday. We'll go a little deeper then, because we're out of time right now. The yellow light is on. So it's time to stop right here and have a word of prayer. Let's call upon the Lord together. Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Lord.